Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What we try to do every time we come together like this is to take a look at our eternal destination. To take a look at the journey from earth to glory. That's what every sermon is all about. And a lot of signboards along the way. Warning, see danger here. You know, if you are traveling on the highway, when you reach dangerous bend, what will happen? You see the pull sign there, danger. If you ignore it, what will happen? You are coming with speed, see bend. They warn you about 1 kilometer ahead so that you reduce your speed. Instead, you ignore it. They didn't put that thing there for nothing. They put it there to warn you so that you will arrive safely. But you know, it's not everybody that tests a journey that sometimes arrives at a destination. Spiritually speaking too, it's not everybody that has taken off in this Christian journey that will arrive the promised land. Why? Because the warning signs we are ignored. Let's look at one of the warning signs in the Bible. We say it every day. It's a warning sign. It's a warning that you take heed. It says, he who thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Take heed to what? Take heed to what the Spirit of God is speaking through the scriptures and his servants. Amen. And there is a warning about that Apostle Paul gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll read it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you are there, I will read the first 6 or 7 verses. One. Are we there? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Corinthians chapter number 4. I mean, chapter 4, yes. And I read from verse 1. Therefore, see, we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not. Which ministry is he talking about? The ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling souls back to their maker. That is why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. That is why he has anointed us and given us the gifts. That is the reason we are gathered here today. Hallelujah. I read it again. Therefore, see, we have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. My emphasis is verse 3 and verse 4. That is where I pick my text, sermon text from. But if our gospel be hid, that is, if there is anybody that does not understand this entire message that we preach in this church, well, that's all we preach in this church. There's a message in the land. There is a message in the land. a message to the children of God. And if you have not caught this message, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That is, you are destined never to make it. Why? In whom, inside such people, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, which believe them, who believe not, lest the light of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I am looking at the topic this morning of the God of this world. The God of this world. This God of this world, Christ referred to him in John chapter 12 and verse 31 as the prince of this world. He referred to him also in John chapter 16 and verse 11 also as the prince of this world. And remember, the God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world. Hallelujah. And the Bible warns us clearly. James chapter 4 verse 4 and 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, I read it up to verse 17. The emphasis in these two scriptures, these two admonishments by Apostle John, John the Beloved, and Apostle James, is a warning to all of us, heavenly candidates, eternal beings, being filled with eternal life, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that the love of this world is enmity with God. You cannot love God and love this world. And you cannot love this world and love God. Why? Because they are opposite one to the other. And when you say the God of this world, who is God? What is God? Before you say anything is God, that thing is an object of worship. Anything that is worshipped is called God. And God, and every God, is supposed to be a Lord. Is the final say over your life. That's why you worship him. Hallelujah. And why? Because you worship him. You worship him. You call him God because you believe he is dependable. You will depend upon him for everything, or for certain things at least. Anything you depend totally on, for any aspect of your life, you depend on it. That thing is your God. That must be your God. And who is the God of this world? The God of this world is Satan himself. Because that is the beginning of rebellion. The Bible says, like we read during our Sunday's, our Bible study during the night vigil, the emphasis there in Isaiah 45, is there any God beside me? There's none else. God says he does not share his glory with any man. None before him and there shall be none after him. He said, I know not any. And our God that we serve is a jealous God. He does not share his glory with anyone. Amen. Now this little exhortation is important. It's important because a lot of us get careless in this Christian journey. And before you know what, you stray away before you realize it. And sometimes to come back becomes difficult. That is why, again, Apostle Paul says, he who thinks he stands, he said, take heed, lest he fall. In Isaiah chapter 14, can we read it? That is the beginning of Satan wanting to be God. And I know we all know that scripture. And I'll read it from verse 12. Oh, this is what Isaiah saw in the spirit. How art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Hallelujah. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Ah! Hey! Oh! Hey! I saw in the newspaper today one Igbo man. I think they say he's from Oweri. Where is he from? Anambra. He said he is Jesus. He is the Jesus that people have been expecting to come. He has come. Come from Oweri. Hallelujah. Okay. Everybody is rejecting him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is one also at Calabar that say he is the Holy Ghost. So Calabar people have got their own. Igbo people have got their own. Remember Hausa and Yoruba? There was Jesu of Igbo. So it's remaining Hausa O. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was his problem. Verse 14 said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So Satan has always desired to be worshipped. And just like God too desired to be worshipped. Hallelujah. And to get through worship, amen, God appeared in three offices. The creator of the heavens and the earth, to achieve his purpose, he appeared in three offices of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Catch this, church. I didn't say he appeared in three persons. I'm speaking to revelated people. Am I understood? I hope we are talking, we are flowing. When I say certain language, you understand, it's different from the denominational language. This is the language of revelation. Jesus, hallelujah, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, for the purpose of restoring true worship among human beings, he appeared for the purpose of salvation, for the purpose of redemption, in three offices. The one same God appearing in three offices, doing the work of redemption as the Father and in the Son and as the Holy Ghost coming to dwell inside those that have been redeemed. Hallelujah. That is what the Creator, the true God, is doing. And if Satan too is going to achieve, because he has the ministry of perversion. He has the ministry of perversion. Anything that is of God, his business is to pervert it. They call the Bible, refer to him as the thief that cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our denominations, in trying to understand how our Creator works, they gave him the word Trinity. So let's borrow that word Trinity from the denomination. If God has his own Trinity, Satan also has his own Trinity. To achieve the same purpose, he has a Trinity of work. To kill, to steal, to kill, and to do what? Destroy. That is his Trinity work. Steal, kill, and destroy. You know, after you have stolen, amen, the person is already a dead man. When you have stolen all that the person has, what will remain again? Now suicide remains. So he will not push you again till you commit suicide, you die. Then so that no doctor will bring you back to life, he will destroy you. By the time he reaches destruction, you are gone forever. Now, in bringing his work of destruction, he has a trinity that he set and uses. There are three things that the God of this age, this world, uses to achieve worship. Remember, the purpose is to gain worship. And that is exactly the same thing that God, the angel of the Lord, warned William Branham. And it's a warning to all servants of God, and I believe it's a warning to every child of God. Three things that the devil uses, the God of this age uses, is the same one in the same three offices, three areas, using three things to destroy and destroy your fellowship with God and achieve worship. That is, take attention away from the true God and bring it to Him. And the three of them are money, women, and popularity. Fame. And these are three things that people of the world chase after. Money, women, and popularity. And these are the three things that the devil uses to achieve his purpose of seeking worship. Brethren, there are people that are worshiping money. Amen. There are people that are worshiping women. You don't know it. Let's look at the first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what every Christian must watch at. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I have seen several people use that so well, but they have a way of referring to that place. They just gloss over it. They don't try to sit down and let us know the effect of it. Let me read it from verse 9. That scripture says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and horseful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which, while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And Apostle Paul was warning Timothy, but thou, O man of God, O daughter of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Flee these things. And when we say the love of money, is it not true? Is it not because people are looking for money that armed robbery has increased, both armed and unarmed robbery? Robber and a robber. Some need gun before they can rob you. Some, they don't need gun, they need sense. They call them 419, but they're actually robber, because what that man used gun to get from you, this one will use sense and get from you. So whether it's armed or unarmed, robber na robber. What are you looking for? Money. What is all this ritual killing for? Money. What is all this bribery and corruption that has reduced Nigeria to such a pitiable condition, despite all the resources that God has blessed this country with? Bribery, corruption. Anytime you see families fighting, this one no agree with this one, this one no agree with this one. What is the cause of money? What is causing jealousy up and down? Money.
okay,
you want to import fake drugs and fake goods, what did they look for? And you know that antibiotic, when you go in there, go bring now chalk they put for inside rubber cover like capsule, you know it is fake. You are displaying it. Doctor say you need ampiclox as antibiotic to cure something or you die. You go sweat on and say, take ampiclox with this. What are you looking for? Money. Whether you die or anything, or give me the money. No more conscience. Hallelujah. If you go overseas, our roads are not the worst roads. Our roads are not the worst roads. Our roads in Nigeria, they are not the worst roads in the world. If you go overseas, you will use your car. All this Tokumba car road they bring come. Many people use and pass and come give us. Clean everything. Why? The parts. Amen. The parts are original parts they use in their country. But in this country, every part of motor imported is fake. Go to China. I want shock absorber. They will ask you, which country are you taking it to? Nigeria. Which grade are you looking for? What are you looking for? Money. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. One of the most deadly business to do is drug trafficking. Cocaine pushers, heroin. In Thailand, in Saudi Arabia, in Singapore, in all these places, if they catch you, no go come, no interrogation, na die. But Nigerians, waiting, I must make it this year. Amen. Love of money. That is what is taking people also for human trafficking. Human trafficking. All these women, when they carry go Italy, Spain, all this Europe. No one called the state where they are all plenty pass. There's one state. Now you call her. Now they first discover that business. Amen. What are they looking for? Money. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's why they look. They do their own abroad. Prostitution. But you do your own in Nigeria here. All the fornication. That man where they sleep with, is it not because of money? It's because of money. As he abuse you rich, he marry me now, he not marry me. But now this man, they take care of me for Lagos. So I don't know anybody for Lagos. So, but the man, every time they abuse you, and all he wants is, you sleep with him now. Why are you giving yourself to sleep with him, sister? Now money. The love of money is the root of all evil. All these occultic places, money. Why? You businessman, why are you entering a secret society? It's money. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you will understand why Proverbs chapter 27 and he said hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Oh yes. Never satisfied. It is greed, covetousness. And if we go back as a Christian, amen. As a Christian, that same 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And he emphasized in verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And he added in verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Because Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 24 says, riches are not forever. Riches are not forever. You can't take them beyond this place. It can't follow you to the grave. It can't. So why are you killing yourself for? Why are you the devil? Allow the devil to use that to destroy you. Because in verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, hear what he said. He said, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So many are now coming down to Christians. They say, wait, some people, those of us who profess Christianity, the way we chase after these worldly material things should be different from the way people in the world do. They say, well, you will chase this money, then it will affect your Christian faith. That is what Apostle Paul is warning here in verse 10. Because he said, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have erred from the faith. There is the stand of this Christian faith concerning materialism. For instance, we have characters. We can pick some characters in the Bible. We have Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. But you saw how he ended up. Why? Money. Money blinded the eyes plus ears of Balaam. When Balak, he saw the gift, he had clearly God's perfect will. Don't curse these people. But because he is after those gifts, after those material things, after that money, you saw the extent he went to make sure he got that money. And you can see that, those of you who are taking down scriptures, in Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24, 25, those chapters, chapters 22, chapter 23, chapter 24, 25, and even go to chapter 31 and see how it was made reference to. And even in the New Testament, God did not forgive him. He referred to him to a doctrine as a doctrine of Balaam. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Until today, like Balaam, remember, it is the same old demon, Lucifer, Satan, that is using that to blinding the people from the light of truth. That's what he's using. The god of this evil age, Satan, that is how he operates. That is his trinity I'm looking at now. The first one, and that is the father of them all, money. That's the father, money. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are men of God. The Bible makes it clear concerning this gift. Freely we have received, freely we shall give. Is it not written in the Bible? But there are men of God that even before you see them, you fill form and pay registration fee. I didn't say I read it somewhere. See, I don't say what I have not confirmed. I went somewhere and I was given form to fill to see the man of God. And the PA there told me, sir, you have to drop, as at that time, some few years back, he says 50 naira. Hallelujah. And I told the PA there, why should I pay before I see the man of God? He said, well, this is how we do it here. I said, me too, I'm a man of God, and people, they see me, they know they pay me before they see them. Why go pay before I see another person? Go and give him, tell him I want to see him. And when I entered, he saw my form. He said, you didn't pay. I said, pay for what? See vision for me, make her they go. See, make her they go. At the end, that is peace. PA. I converted him. He left that place and came to this church and became one of the Micaiahs in this church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the love of money. Genuine gift of God upon them. Genuine power of the Holy Ghost. But love of money makes them to err from the faith. From the faith. Church, you better believe it. God does not owe any man. God can never use anybody and dump that person. Not too many people know this fact. Not too many people are patient enough to accept this fact. And the devil is there to use your impatience to destroy your faith. He gives you every reason to get it. Na 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 na. Even in this church, it happened. Even here. As I talk now, some people carry helmets and go to room now. Close your ear. Praise God. You know, the word of God is an arrow. Eh? So that's why I said they put helmet. It will hit. Back up, fall down. Back to sender. Back to Moses. Back to that one. That this house summer. That this house summer. No waiting person they suffer. You don't there. So they can stay here, they die. No. You know they can't church members so they're here. They don't take care of their ministers at all. You know, if we sit down, the 20 this man, they do, we go, you'll die for nothing here. God will understand. Nalayo. Hey, if you are the one I'm talking to, may you repent in the name of Jesus Christ. They cause you to err from the faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There are two sisters that as I was driving in, they were going out. So the school was going on. I called their leader of their group. I said, your people know they sit down and listen to the word. I saw two sisters going out. He told me, he said, those two sisters say they are going for a program somewhere. I said, where be the place? He said, he asked them several times. All of them say, somewhere. Somewhere. Then they go for a program somewhere. See, the team that will make a sister to leave Sunday worship from her church and go, say they go program, you know what it takes to go there. It's the same spirit in Balaam. The same spirit. Oh, the love of money. Somebody shout money. Hey, this spirit is so strong. Hey, even a 1-year-old child, he knows about money. Try it. Let somebody give that small child money. The mother will have to use a lot of sense to collect the money from him. Bring it. Mommy. Give me now. Mommy. 1 year old. Especially if you come from one part of this country. I don't call any place, so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was told that that part of the country, if you want to confirm if somebody is dead, they don't take the person to the hospital. If somebody suddenly collapse and die, they know they call doctor. They will bring coins and shake it. If the person does not respond, then it's truly dead. Money. Love of money. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you don't know, it is the devil. It's the devil. We have another character, Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Apostle Paul was lamenting. And he spoke about Demas, that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Listen to that minute, to that statement. Apostle Paul was lamenting. Demas was one of the ministers, trusted ministers that were working with Apostle Paul. But suddenly, if I begin to stay with this man, Paul, they walk like this. I saw person go there. I know build my own house. I don't marry you. I don't get better house. I saw we there from college. I saw we move go. I tell you, I saw now, don't move, come here now. I saw person condition still remain. But remain like that too. Hey! Because he loved this present world. That means this present, remember, he said he didn't love, it's not just because he loved this world. He said because he loved this present world. That means the thing where he go chop, now. That's what it means. Now. Because of what he will eat, now. He's not ready to wait for God's time. Why? He left Apostle Paul to Ajawa instead to start his own ministry. He went to Thessalonica to start his own ministry. What type of ministry will Demas start? What type of ministry will Demas start? It will be a ministry so that he can eat. Ah, it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. That's what he says, that so many have erred from the faith. The initial vision became blood. Love of money. And in that same scripture he said, not just err from the faith, they have also pierced themselves with many sorrows. He started the story of Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5. Gehazi, in verse 26, he received leprosy. Listen, we know the story of Gehazi. Gehazi, a servant of Elisha, who will have studied Elisha so that he can have another double portion of the spirit that Elisha received. Till today, we will have been talking about Gehazi anointing. Because he will have been higher than Elisha's own. The anointing is supposed to increase, not decrease. If Elisha received double portion, Gehazi will have received triple portion. But why? Hallelujah. Naaman brought that gift. Elisha, the servant of God, who cannot receive a gift from a leprous hand. A Jew will never touch anybody that is leprous because the law forbids it. Anything leprosy is isolated. It's a type of sin. There are sacrifices you will have to offer to be cleansed, to be able to come before God's presence. If you ever come across a leprous person, so they are always kept away from normal people. Don't touch, don't greet, don't talk to me, don't defile me, leprous. Then a gentle leprous general carry gift and is coming to give a servant of God. That is the type of unbelievers that will not want your God, your doctrine. They don't want to follow the teachings of your God, but they want the gift. What do they use to entice us, the servants of God? They bring leprous gifts, contaminated gifts. A 419 man that brings a gift to the man of God to pray for him is the same thing like that Naaman bringing a leprous gift for a true servant of God. To do what? You will pray for him, but you will not collect that gift, because by the time you finish preaching to him, he won't be able to give you that gift again. That is the truth. By the time he knows what you stand for, a daughter of God, a son of God, You need help. Give your life to Christ if you want my God to save you. But so that you will know that my God is a true God, you bind and loose him and scatter him and tell him to go. Chop, chop! God will back you up. Chop, chop, chop! So that he will know that you are serving the living God. Naaman was told by Elijah. Elijah did not even come out of the room to see him. When Gehazi come and say, hey! One big fish don't come. Master, Syrian general, if you see the county where he bring, all our financial problems are solved. Master, your God is a true God. I know this suffering will end one day. Elisha said, who is the person? Say, Naaman, the leprous man. Give. Go and tell that man. He should go to River Jordan and dip himself 7 times so that he will know there is God in Israel. Gehazi, what of the gift now? Which gift? He's leprous. Send him away. Kai, this man. If person follow this house, man, he go just nothing go. The man left. Gehazi decided to take permission that his mother is sick. Pastor, my mother is sick. It's emergency. It's emergency. It's emergency. Amen. And Gehazi took off, going after Naaman. Okay, Naaman. Say, hey, come. Hallelujah. My master say, he gave visitors, welcome. Some of those things, what you bring? Bring up. And when he came back, how can you do that before a prophet? Is there anything hidden before our God? And everyone that hides in this ministry to perpetuate evil, to go against what we preach and stand for in this truth, he will also be exposed like Gehazi in the name of Jesus Christ. Whether you say amen or not, it is a fact. Because the God that revealed Gehazi and his evil to Elisha is still alive now. He will reveal that to us also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's expected that after today there will be repentance. That is why we are saying it hard the way we are saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he came, Elisha told him, hey, you have not only collected the gift, you collected the gift plus the leprosy of Naaman. That is it. From that day, Gehazi became leprous. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. The love of money, he said, because of it, said, many have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Forever. Who will cure Gehazi? Forever. And that's why there's no mention of him again in the Bible. What will God do with a leprous person? What of Judas? He betrayed his master, the Lord of glory. For what? Money. Money. There's another character in Acts chapter 8. Let's read that one. Simon the sorcerer. Amen. Let me read it from verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Are we together? And preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with pastries, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. Sorcery there is witchcrafts, familiar spirits, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, listen, verse 13, Simon the sorcerer believed. Simon the sorcerer believed and was even baptized. But you will see the reason he believed and the reason he even went for water baptism. He continued with Philip. That is, he became a minister. And wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He was following them and following them, and all his interest was, he saw a higher power than the power he had. Chai, if I have this type of power, I know the type of money I will make. So let me follow and study and see how, what is the secret? How can I get this power? How can I get this power? So many people are in the ministry today for the seeking for power. The reason they are seeking for that power is so that they will make money. Church, I am talking to human beings, not chairs. No, I have a reason for making that statement. I have a reason for making that statement. Now you are the talk to. Hey, you go go. That in this church, 90% of the people that are looking for the Holy Ghost, they are looking for the gift of prophecy. They are looking for to see power, you know, power gift. Why? It's the same spirit of Simon the sorcerer. And we see, church, after 10 years of this ministry, we have seen all manner of things. All manner of things. There are people that are sitting there in the congregation, they are ministers. They have come here to receive power so that they will go and start their own. They are sitting in the congregation there. What is the problem? They want pastor, my ministry, pastor, if you can lay hand on me. And you've stayed here for so long. Have you seen anybody that told you that they went and met pastor and pastor gave them power? Sunday, I lay hand on you before you start to see vision. Somewhere. I lay hand on you before you start to see vision. Maya, I give you something. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And church, there are men of God, even in Nigeria today, that go to look for power, so that when they lay hands on people, they will fall down. It's the same spirit. Brethren, there are men of God, Pentecostal juggernauts, today, that go to occultic places to get power, so that when you will fall down. And I always ask question, how can falling down be evidence of the power of God? Brethren, the evidence of the power of God is the testimony that follows after you stand up. Is anybody understanding me? Is anybody following? Amen. Hallelujah. God does not entertain anybody. God does not entertain anybody. Church, listen. The power of God is not for show. God does not entertain anybody. I watched a man of God on a satellite TV station. For 1 hour, he was teaching them about the power of God. And then he was busy playing with the anointing. And he was saying, for instance, this is the power of God. For instance, you fall down. You see? Now you come out. You fall down. Bah. He said, you see? This is power of God. Then he removed his cloth. He said, when you anointed, he said, everything about this anointed. Then he removed his suit. Now you come out. How many of you? Three of you. Come out. He threw the suit like this. All of them fall down, yakata. Pah. Then he come again. He was staggering. Come again. And then he will blow. Pah. You fall down. Pah. He said, even my bread is anointed. Church, that is evidence that is not the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost is not for showmanship. God can never be part of showmanship. The Holy Ghost that took Jesus Christ to go to that type of painful death for it to be released can never come on a true servant of God, and he will use it like that. You know where, and who am I to know that if I come near you, you will fall? How can I know that if I touch you, you will fall? Except I know I have the power that anybody I touch must fall. And the Holy Ghost does not make everybody fall. Everybody cannot fall under anointing. Everybody cannot fall under anointing. There are some people that are very sensitive. Even without anybody, even in their room, when they are clapping hands, they will fall. Once they get in the spirit, they will fall. But there are some that no matter what, if Jesus stands like this, they go shake hands with them, they don't go fall. Hallelujah. You must understand that. Anybody that teaches you that the evidence you have received is that you will fall, is a lie. It's a lie. You receive because you believe, not because you fall. He who believes will receive, not he who falls will receive. And that a demon leaves you does not mean you must fall down before a demon leaves you. When the demon enters you, you fall down. How do you say you won't come out, then you go fall down? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They use that to bamboozle the world, but they can never bamboozle the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Why are you going about seeking for power? It's money you're looking for. It's money. And what are they producing? If a genuine power of God touch any human being, the first thing it will do in your life, it will convert you. Convert you. You fall down, finish after service. The man of God say, receive me, fall down. And you take off as you go, so now your boyfriend house you go. He said, the power of God. Which power of God? It's power of your pastor, not power of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying this because this will be heard on the television. Let the church of Jesus Christ know this nonsense that is going on. Look, in the Bible, it is recorded that shadows of the apostles, Peter and the rest, heal the sick. Listen. Hallelujah. Listen. They didn't line up people, no. They were just walking their own, they go. They were just just going on their own. If shadow touch any sick person, he will receive healing. If they touch anybody, that's all. On the day of Pentecost, Peter gathered all of them. Oh yeah. If you want the anointing, stand up. Then they stood up. Are you ready? 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 Take it! And everybody fall down. And somebody is telling you that is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody that has a genuine power of the Holy Ghost will let you know why he has anointed you. The anointing that he anoints you can never be for showmanship. It's given to you to attract people to what you have to tell them so that they'll be converted. But why? It's money. It's money. But hear what he says. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Verse 19 saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Although you have been baptized, although you have been following Philip up and down in his crusades, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Why? Because you have set to use the gift of God for money. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. That action before God is evil, is wickedness. And pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. In fact, it's so abominable, the language that Peter is using here, he's not even sure whether God will forgive him. He said, repent, maybe God will forgive this your wickedness that is in your heart. That is how abominable our early church fathers took the idea of commercializing the gospel. It's an evil that Peter did not even think God will forgive anybody that commercializes the gospel. And when we say forgiven, some people think that God will be angry, then the anointing will not go work again. No. For the gift and calling of God is without repentance. God will never withdraw the anointing. But Matthew chapter 7 says, at that day, many shall say, in your name, have I not, was it not in your name? I did this, I did that. He said, I never know you. They will never enter the kingdom of God. Depart from me, you that walk iniquity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is how Simon the sorcerer ended up. Is it not the love of money that is sending so many of us, even servants of God, to go into dirty depths? Dirty, very dirty depths. Many servants of God, one police case or the other, in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, many people steal, even in the church, from offering box like this. Offering box. A sister has once come to me for counseling that she was in a church, an Anglican church. She told me where it was. And that she was in charge of counting money. Now each time she counted money, she was always taking some money out every Sunday. Sometimes 10,000, sometimes. So she was doing that regularly. Then one day, she was caught. And so, they disgraced her. Out of shame, she ran away. And she has could not find peace again. How can you find peace? How can you find peace? A lot of us don't even know the God we are serving. Our God is so merciful that he does not strike immediately. He gives you time to think over the evil you are doing so that you can repent. When he waits and he sees you getting worse and worse, that is when he will strike. Because he does not wish to disgrace anybody. And now no more peace. She's coming to me, Pastor, pray for me. I know I have sinned. Then I told her, sister, If not my church, you thief the money. You can come to me to pray for you for God to forgive you. You go to that pastor. And if you don't go there, I told her, go anywhere, do any fasting, you are wasting your time. Go back there and let that man of God pronounce to you that he has forgiven you. If not, no peace. And when he said no peace, when God begins to deal with you, you know who will deliver you if you have a problem with God. Who will deliver you? Love of money will make people go and steal from the church. Steal from these offering boxes. Steal. No fear. Making shipwreck of their faith. Piercing themselves with many sorrow. Love of money. People coveting after it. And will make them even lose their dignity. Lose self-respect. People you thought were something. Expose them to money. Then they will manifest who they are. It's wrong. In your businesses, in your offices, whatever association you belong to, in your prayer groups, whatever area, once money is committed unto you, it is a test for you whether you are a Christian or not. It's a big test. Me, I'm not a fornicator. Pastor Moses can never, me, never a fornicator. That is your testimony, Pastor Moses. Wait first. If you travel out where nobody know you, nobody see you, even God know they see you for there. Because that's what you believe now. Then, one Asmodi come offer you free. And then you can say, no, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. I don't do that. It is then you will say, true, I am not a fornicator. But until that happens, brother, stop saying you are not a fornicator. Before you say you are anything, before you become medical doctor, I think you do test for doctor. Before you say you are a qualified accountant, I think they give you tests. Some they fail. Some not they fail. Before you say you are this, you are that, you pass a test. Before you say, I am not a liar. Wait first. Until you jump police. For checkpoint. Praise the Lord. But I assure you, there are men of God, hallelujah, that have stood their ground. There are Christians, men and women, that have stood their ground. I will not defile myself for anything. You and your money, pack and go. There are, in every phases of life, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The second God, we don't finish with money. It's a woman. Somebody say, whoa, man. Say it again. Whoa, man. Now, when I speak like this, I'm not speaking about daughters of God. You know, I'm talking about the world. Amen. We are warned to beware of them. I'm not talking about the daughters of God. And when you say women generally, we're talking about, this is even more to the servants of God. Men now that are serving in their own way to serve God. One of the things that the devil wants to use to pull you down is a woman. And please, for the married man, Eve was married to Adam. It was through Eve Adam fell. I hope we know that. Therefore, when he said watch, it simply means even your wife, you will watch. There are certain aspects of your wife that you are married, that if you don't watch, the devil will use her and pull you down. That is the truth. Apostle Paul said we are not unawares of the device. The devices of Satan. And that is the reason why the Bible says, a man's enemy shall be where? Where? Them of your household. And the easiest one that the enemy will be used is the woman there who is supposed to be a part of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. There are some women that are just a woman, not wife. Amen. Now I'm only talking as far as this is concerned, because if I'm to balance it, there are some men too that are there to pull down the spiritual life of women. Now, but let me limit it to what we are saying now, because in terms of Christian service, it is committed to the men. And the devil wants to pull you down the position that God has placed you. He will use the woman in the house. Therefore, you are to pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding of how to deal even with that type of woman in the house. Then there is the strange woman. Hallelujah. There is the strange woman. Samson had a strange woman, Delilah, and she pulled him down. And there are many Samsons today, men of God, the woman has pulled down, even in this ministry. You know the level you were in before. You know the thing what you do now. You don't come down. Swear your testimony. Destroy your life. You're supposed to watch out. Ahab was pulled down because of Jezebel. Solomon. Hey, let's hear Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon, who was supposed to be the wisest man on earth. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon. Hey, Solomon. Brother Solomon. Are we there? Verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Every nation, he get wives for there. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon claimed unto these in love. Didn't the Bible say, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers? But love, love. Now love, make you the love that man, love that woman. So many of you, even in this church, fine, born again, spirit-filled Christians in Bride Assembly, you are going to your village to convert to marry. You are not a Solomon. You've had the word which will give you wisdom, but your wisdom has turned to foolishness. That's the truth. And he had verse 3. Hey, one man. And he had 700 wives. One man. Princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. One man, 1,000 women, one man. One man. There's one man in Niger State that had how many? 65. 86. One man. Maybe he's a descendant of Solomon. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did father his David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, and the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and